Welcome to episode 107 of the Piano Pantry podcast with me, your host, Amy Chaplin. There aren't many things in life that I do for years and years on end, but today's topic is an exception. For 14 years, I've been running a studio-wide note naming challenge called the 1 Minute Club. The main reason this event has continued to be a staple in my studio is due to one particular keyword. Studio-wide. It's something that can be a thing crossing multiple levels. Plus, I like that it's an easy objective award that can be featured during the year-end recital. The main premise is simple. Students have to name and play a predetermined group of notes on the piano in 1 minute or less. If you've been around here for a while, I first talked about this in episode 61 called A Note Naming Challenge for Your Students. I mentioned in that episode, thanks to inspiration from another teacher, that I was hoping to make two specific tweaks to my event this year, which is why I'm bringing you this replay today. Those two changes are the timing of when it occurs during the studio year and the event name. I used to run it in April, right before the May recital, and called it the 1 Minute Club. This year, I'm moving it back, both my recital and this challenge. So we're going to practice a lot in January and February, and then in March, the formal challenge will be on, so we can enjoy the wordplay of calling it March Minute Madness, inspired by the annual college basketball tournament. In this episode, I cover things like objectives, leveling, scheduling, rewards, frequently asked questions, and more. By the end of our short time together, I hope you'll walk away having a variety of ideas of how you might be able to incorporate an annual challenge like this in your own studio. Are you tired of having your life scattered across multiple websites and productivity apps? Would you love to see everything you manage in life on one beautiful dashboard? My friend Joy Morin of colorinmypiano.com and I have both been using Notion, an awesome productivity and note-taking app, for several years now and aren't exaggerating when we say that it has changed our lives. We've become pretty passionate about all the ways we've utilized Notion to make our lives easier as independent teachers, and are now teaming up to offer a special live workshop to pass along these methods. In this 2-day live event, we'll help you build a custom, personalized digital workspace in Notion, and in turn, revolutionize the way you work in 2024. You'll get access to a starter pack of Notion page templates built by us, including things like a prospective student inquiries tracker, student curriculum notes, a studio communication calendar, tax preparation checklists, and more. Join us for this event on March 8th and 9th from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. If you can't make it live, replays will be available. Check the link in the show notes for more details and to register. Before discussing all the nitty-gritty details of running an annual note-naming challenge, let's address the all-important question of the goal or the objective, otherwise known as what's the point? Now, you might be surprised to hear that the only goal in holding something like this is not just so students can learn their notes. Yes, there are always musical learning objectives in what we do, obviously, but there can also be other reasons for what we do besides just learning a certain musical skill. The big one for me with this has been creating an opportunity that involves almost my entire studio. I say almost because eventually, yes, they graduate from the challenge. Unless your studio is entirely made up of group classes, students do most of their piano learning work alone. I mean, do I really even need to say the whole lonely support phrase out loud? I don't think so. We all know it. Kids love being part of things. This is one of the reasons that makes team sports so popular. Even though a note naming challenge isn't something they do at the same time or together, it's still something that they can see everyone participating in. It creates awareness of the achievements of others in the studio and, in turn, a little sense of competition. Now, a little side note here, that as I'm saying this, I'm also brainstorming that you could even run this during a group class week and have students watch each other do it, which could also maybe be a good way to build that feeling of competition a little. I don't know. Anyway, just a thought. So it builds community while giving you and your students a progressive means of achievement, just as they would like with a leveled exam or festival, but with just one musical element. Now let's talk specifics and all the nitty-gritty. The beauty of something like this is you can run it however you want. While you could just run it for all the students who know all their notes on the staff, I like creating levels so that all students can participate, and, as I mentioned earlier, it creates a means of progressive achievement. Mine has even morphed a little over the years, depending on how I approach note reading, as yours may as well. For example, when I was using Piano Safari a lot, the design I created was that the first level was the landmarks treble G, middle C, and bass C, like they use in book one, and notes that were a step or a skip above or below these landmarks. Since Piano Safari uses the skips alphabet approach to teach notes from there, the next level was all the space notes on the staff, then all the line notes, and then all the notes. In recent years, I've moved more towards an entirely landmark approach, as I like how it teaches like the mirrored image design of the grand staff, beginning with bass F and middle C and treble G, then moving out to bass C and treble C, then to the edge of the staff with low F and high G, and then finally low C and high C, and all the ledger lines in between the staff. Thus, my 1 minute club levels have shifted. I still like teaching students the skips alphabet because it's just another way of understanding the layout of the staff and how the bass and treble staffs come together, but I prefer not to make it the focus of how to identify notes quickly. Another example would be is if you use Irina Goren's Tales of a Musical Journey, then maybe your first level would be, as she teaches it in book one, just 8 notes. Middle C for both the bass and the treble staff, and then D, E, F above the treble clef, and B, A, G below the bass clef. She doesn't actually introduce bass F and treble G until the beginning of book two. Anyway, I really don't want this episode to be about debating approaches to note reading. I'm only telling you this so that you can see how there's not one answer to how you design your note challenge. Do it based on how you teach note reading in your studio. The sky's the limit. You can make it 3 levels, 5 levels, or I've even seen people do 10 levels. In fact, I'm going to link to a blog post in the show notes where one of my piano teacher friends, Karen Leon, at You Love Piano, several years ago, shared specifics on her 10 levels. The next thing I want to address is a question that's popped up over the years regarding the amount of items, I'll call it, per level. That is, do you make students do the same amount of cards, like make sure all the levels include exactly 20 cards they have to name and play in 1 minute? So some higher levels might have 20 different notes, and easier levels might have 5 notes, but with 4 repetitions of each note. My answer to that is, honestly, it doesn't matter. Again, do it how you like. Yes, you could do this. The only potential difficulties I could foresee with doing it this way would be the need to create multiple card sets of notes and designating levels with the exact amount of notes that could make sense in each combination. For example, if you wanted to do a level that had bass C to treble C level notes, that would only include 16 notes. So which notes would you repeat? See what I mean? Now, one remedy for this would be working towards having the number of cards, as in flashcards, I'm saying, to be close to the number, but not exactly. So maybe you could have a level that had 15 and one that had 18, you know, so that they were kind of close to the same amount, but not like extremes, like 8 and then 36. Again, just brainstorming. What I have concluded for myself is I don't care if some levels have only 10 cards and they have an entire minute to do it. Now, this mindset, I think, came about when I had students who had just started lessons in January, midway through our year term, and I wanted to make sure that they could participate when we did it only a few months later. It takes a while for kiddos to name and play notes quickly, and I didn't see it as a problem if level one students finished their notes in 30 seconds. I also think that speed in naming notes comes with time, so it's okay to have easier levels that have less notes and higher levels with more notes. my personal current design, which is outlined in a blog post on the Piano Pantry website that's linked in the show notes, it includes 5 levels. They progress from 10 notes to 16 to 24, then back to 16, then 36. So their level 1 has 10 notes, which is from bass F to treble G. Level 2 is 16 notes from bass E to treble C. Level 3 is 24 notes from low F to high G, which is basically all the notes on the staff that aren't ledger lines. And then level 4 is all the ledger lines. So it's 16 notes, including like high and low C, and then the inner ledger line landmarks, G above middle C in, I'm sorry, F above middle C in the bass clef, and G below middle C in the treble clef. And then finally, level 5 is all of the notes from low C to high C and all the inside ledger lines. So one thing I did struggle with personally was at first whether or not to include the outside ledgers that go up to 3 lines. Ultimately, I decided to stick with the confines of the ledger line landmark notes, plus some of the printable note sets that I was using off the internet only went from low to high C. So I don't know, that was just one way of coming up with what my levels were. So I just let the landmarks be the confines. If you want physical flashcards that go out to the 3 ledger lines above and below the staff, I do have a recommendation, and that is the flashcard set from TCW Resources that's published by Chos. They're really great quality flashcards. Next, let's talk about the benefits and options of doing it various times of the year. So you could do it at the beginning of the school year, which would work well as a kind of kickoff skill to focus on that students can then benefit from the entire year. On the flip side, though, doing it at the end of the school year can be good because students have the whole year to work on adding in new notes. And then at the end of the school year, it's like a final quiz. I've always held mine in April, and we do it for the entire month, and then we're done in May. And the main reason that I've done this is that it's just close to recital time when I announce the winners. Yes, you heard that right, winners, which I will discuss with you in just a second. But first, let's finish the conversation about the time of year. So, quick story. Recently on Instagram, there was a teacher from Washington State who is at Music Con Brio on Instagram. Anyway, she was sharing how she was running what she called the March Minute Madness Challenge in her studio. And I loved the play on words using, of course, the college basketball March Madness phrase. So it made me do a double take. So I sent her a message saying how I love the idea. I've honestly never loved the title 1 Minute Club. I mean, I don't know. It's not like they're getting into an actual club. But I've never had a better idea, so I just stuck with it. Anyway, funnily enough, this teacher said she had actually heard about the whole note challenge from my blog years ago, which I thought was funny. Small world. So I'm about to run my studio's challenge after spring break, so I can't do it this year, but I'm 90% sure I will change over to doing it before spring break because I love the title March Minute Madness. The only tricky thing would be that I take 2 weeks off at spring break, but March is a long month, so you could potentially have 3 weeks to run the challenge, even if you start at the end of February. I do like the idea of not doing any note work in the final month and a half of the school year, so we'll just see where that takes us. As we roll into the end of our little chat today, let's cover the final element, awards. So what does it mean for them to get into the club? There's 2 ways you could structure your reward system, and this is part of what used to be the biggest struggle for me, and like particularly like using the term 1 minute club. So the first way that you could run it is literally like they're getting into a club. So anyone that completes the assigned level within a minute or less gets the pride of getting into the club, along with whatever reward you may designate, whether that be a candy bar or if you throw a big pizza party they can attend or something like that, however special you want to make it. The other way of doing it is that you could simply congratulate them that they achieved their level. And then once they hit that level, it's like, okay, now you're officially in the running for the competition to be the fastest in that level. And this is what I do. So they're competing for the fastest time in that level, not necessarily just to be able to name it in a minute or less. Part of the reason I've done this is that most students can get their level of notes in a minute. I don't know, I hate to say pretty easily, but pretty easily. I feel like the competition gets them a little more excited and thus also contributes to the community feeling within the studio. If students don't complete the level in the time allotment given, which happens but hasn't happened a lot, it's something that I simply just share with the parents, and it's just a good awareness to know what the student may need to work on. So then I have a winner in each level who gets a $5 gift card to Walmart. So the nice thing about that is, again, you can have multiple levels that students can work for, and then you can have a winner in each one instead of just one winner overall. Now, the winner of the highest level, though, I do make this a little bit more special, and I give them a $15 gift card. They get their picture in a collage that hangs in my studio of all the past winners, and they officially graduate from ever having to do it again, which, admittedly, honestly, by that point, they love. Phew, I thought this would be a short episode, but there's a lot of little elements to talk about here. Again, the good news is there's no right or wrong way to do it. Just get started and then tweak it each year as you need. So thinking about this approach with the whole March Minute Madness theme has gotten my brain juices going on how we could even morph something like this into more than just note names. I mean, maybe you could create a whole series of achievement levels that students work toward, like in Scouts. And March is when they display their skills and work towards these achievements, you know, just kind of like a festival. You could do things like identifying beginner level music term flashcards or playing all 12 major 1-4-5-1 chord progressions with 100% accuracy in a minute or whatever. So I just think the door is wide open to this. So anyway, I hope you have gleaned some great ideas to help you integrate this challenge into your studio, whether it's this year or next year. And don't forget to jump into the show notes for links to a lot of the things that I talked about today. If you would love to have a resource in your back pocket to help your students learn their notes utilizing the landmark approach, you'll want to check out the Note Rush Progressive Assignment Series on pianopantry.com. Note Rush is the most popular and practical note learning app I know of on the market. Students don't just have to name the note, they have to play the correct key on the piano. The app listens and tells them if they're playing the correct note. By the way, this is not a paid ad by Note Rush. Note Rush has a wonderful setting where you can create custom sets and then send direct links to that set. When you click on the link, it will open your Note Rush app and load that set of cards. You have control over things such as assigned notes, how many times it will cycle through that set of notes per round, how many ledger lines the staff will show, if any, and more. One lesson I've learned in my years of teaching is that students learn the notes faster when they practice in smaller segments with more repetitions, rather than, say, 10 to 20 notes at a time. Rather than creating custom sets over and over to use either in my lesson time or to assign for at-home practice, I created an entire progressive series of hyperlinks that breaks each level of the landmark note-based approach of my challenge down into multiple practice segments. For example, when students are working on level one, which is comprised of 10 notes from bass F to treble G, the first set they practice, which is numbered 1.0, is just the four landmark notes, bass F, two middle Cs, and treble G. The next set, numbered 1.1, is middle A, B, C, D, and E. The third set, numbered 1.2, is middle C to treble G. The fourth set, numbered 1.3, is bass F to middle C. And the final set, numbered 1.4, is all 10 notes. All the sets, except the last one, are set to repeat through the small group of notes several times. I intentionally leave the last set on one repetition, so it will help them know what their time is in naming that group of notes for the challenge. This resource will not only save you tons of time, but will help students practice their notes in a more focused manner. Find this along with anything else mentioned in today's episode by clicking on the link in the show notes or visiting pianopantry.com/podcast/episode107.